get a chance to comment just a little bit on the few things that are taking place in maybe a teaching sort of a way this morning. And maybe it'll be beneficial to some of you to where you can kind of group it together in your mind and understand what we're trying to say to you. Such a wonderful year that's coming up. It's going to be a time of crisis that's going to begin to set in as far as the church. But it's such a wonderful, wonderful event that is taking place. If you've got your Bibles, I think we'll turn over to the book of Revelation and over to about the 12th chapter. I want to read this. I've read it quite a number of times, but I love to read the scriptures and comment on the scriptures at the time that they are running parallel with the present day happenings in the kingdom of God. And in the book of Revelation, in the 12th chapter, we've read this a number of times, but let's read it again this morning. The first verse, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. And upon her head a crown of 12 stars, and she being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. There appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour a child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God in his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had the place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." I was reading the whole 12th chapter of the book of Revelation, and right at the 9th verse, it says Satan is cast out, and his angels are cast out with him, and it goes on to point out that now has come salvation and strength, for the accuser of the brethren is cast out. The power of his Christ has now come. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. And then we are commanded to rejoice, ye that dwell in heaven. But woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for Satan is among you, knowing that he hath a short time. A short time here indicates 3.5 years. The broken covenant in the middle of the week, he has a very short time to do whatever he is going to do. He is aware of the fact that he has at last lost out of the spiritual side of life, and he is forced to make himself manifest. So then God cries here through the prophet, now has come strength, power. The strength of Christ, the salvation, the blessings of God. Now has come this to the church. I want to comment just a little bit on it this morning and see if we can bring out a few thoughts. Before we get into the message, I'd like to ask you to pray for us. I've got to give an answer today to Brother Holt that called from Crestview, Florida, having several days of camp meeting there, and he had asked me to come down and minister for him, run a revival, and I told him if I ever felt led to, I would, but I hadn't felt to so far. So he called and asked if we would come there and minister for him, and I've got to give him an answer today, so you pray, because he has to do with what I'm preaching this morning. I don't know whether brethren remember this or not, but I pointed out something concerning Crestview, Florida, and Brother Holt, and spoke of how that he had to do with the spreading of this thing. And I brought out a number of things on tape somewhere about it. Perhaps some of you remember it, and perhaps some of you don't. I know that some of you pay very little attention to what I say as far as giving the more earnest heed to the things that I say because you don't really believe them. It doesn't mean that much to you. And some of you are very diligent to listen very carefully that you might see. But anyway, you pray that I'll be able to give him the right answer. They have given us an invitation to come into a church over in Lubbock, Texas, also that's supposed to be a big church there. But I want you to pray that God will help me that I might do the thing that's pleasing him, is pleasing to him. That's the only desire I have, is to do things that's pleasing to God. I have no other ambition but that. So you pray for us. All right, now, I'll probably have to slow down here if I teach this. I always kind of have to slow down because if I move fast, then I can't keep the people's minds together. And preaching to people, it's like a song leader. He has to start and very slowly in his motions and movements, pick up the people. And then after a while, he gets the whole orchestra or the choir all together. And with every stroke and every beat, he moves. And God's the same way. We have to move with the Spirit of God, and God picks us up, and then our reflex gets to moving with the Holy Spirit, and then everything goes right home, and it fits itself together perfectly to where we can understand. That's why that I slow down the way I do when I go to try to teach. I'm going to turn to the board here to call a few things to your attention, and now, I would appreciate it if you would do something for me this morning. I know that you have to move around, and I understand that sometimes it's necessary for the mothers, especially if they have children, and I understand. But what I'm trying to teach, if you will, please don't just carelessly move about and let the children move from here to there, because it makes it very difficult for me to be able to express to the people what I want them to understand and what God would like to get over to them. So if you will, please listen. Some of the things that I say today, if the Lord suffers me to say them, I've already said to quite a number of the brethren. But brethren, try to be patient and listen. I do that for your good when we're outside. But remember, there's many people that come to church that never hear the things that I tell you, because you're not considerate enough to pay attention for me to be able to express it to them. The church here in general has missed many multiplied things that some of you brethren have gotten, but because you've not worked with us, it's caused the church to miss them. So I'm trying my best to pick up a few of them here and there and to share them with the church. Some of the things that I say to you here as my people in the church, it wouldn't do me any good to say them to other people because they think I was crazy and they wouldn't understand them at all. They'd just be a bunch of foolishness to them. But nevertheless, my people understand. They're spiritual people and they understand many times what we're saying to them. And so then it is our desire to try to express to them to the best of our ability the things that we understand of God. Don't judge things too hastily. Listen. And try to pay attention. I have to catch the atmosphere just right to be able to bring these things out to you. And I'm reluctant a lot of times to start into them. So if you will, work with me. And listen real good. Now, I can't call names. I have to be careful a lot of times because personalities are involved in what we do. And so then I have to be real careful. And you just have to put things together. And if it falls in a certain place, well, there's nothing I can do about it. I mean, that's God. God knows. It's like talking to Brother Gary and some of the brethren last night down at the little bank building here. Some of the brethren didn't light up with the revelation. And all of a sudden, Brother Gary lit up like he turned a light on. And I checked Gary's spirit because I couldn't say anything and he couldn't say anything. So I checked his spirit to see if he had really got the revelation and understood what I said. And it showed he definitely did. It showed that where personalities was involved, that God spoke to him and told him who the people was. And of course, there was quite a number of them that was sitting there. But I dare say there wasn't more than one or two, if that many, that got it. But Brother Gary did. And I checked his spirit to see if he had it, and he answered back that he did. And so then when we got by ourselves, Gary wanted to confirm the fact, and he related to me, and it was exactly right. So then if I can't go into personalities, you'll just have to bear with me because this is all I can do. And I might not even get into that. I don't know. I'm just going to try. But you can be sure of one thing. People are representing one thing or another in their lives, and they are doing one thing or another. Every individual is a representation of one thing or another. And they are doing one thing or another in their lives that is either establishing the kingdom of God in the earth or tearing down the kingdom of God. And I'm fortunate enough through the grace of God, not of any goodness of my own, but through the grace of God, to know who you are and what you are and what you're doing. All right, now, a lot of times I don't tell you because I don't want to kill you. And I know that I could. A lot of times a doctor can tell somebody what's wrong with them. They might feel good and be going on, but the doctor might know that it's just a matter of 5 or 6 months with them. And if he told them, it'd just bring on an early death. All right, now, so it tells us here that salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ has now come. All right, now, in talking to you concerning this, if I try to teach just a little bit, I want to try to point out just a few things here to you. And if I can, then maybe it will help you to understand. I haven't taught from the board in a long time. But most of you by now are familiar with these drawings right here that Brother Taylor put on the board. Especially the part down here with Daniel's 70 weeks. Because we went into it concerning the visions. Now, we didn't go into it so far as the 70 weeks are concerned, but we did go into it concerning Daniel's visions and how long apart they was and what they had to do with. Now, on the 70 weeks, I wanted to go into the 70 weeks the other night, but I didn't get a chance to do it. Now, sometimes I come in here and I'm going to go into something and I begin to draw back from it. I feel the Lord telling me that it won't work at that particular time. So I drawed back from it until God's time. But I went into the visions of Daniel, and I hope that one day that we'll go into the 70 weeks and see what we can come up with. All right, now, you're familiar with the 1, 2, 3 of the board right here. And you're familiar with the fact that inasmuch as Brother Taylor has drawn the beast of Daniel's visions on this bottom line here, that this has to do with the earth and the beastly realm. Then in the second part up here, he put Calvary, because Calvary has to do with the hanging between heaven and earth. Between heaven and earth hangs Jesus, which is the doorway to the great world beyond. And then in the third place up here, Brother Taylor put a little drawing here that represents the throne of God, because it has to do with the holies of holies, where God Himself sits, rules, and reigns over humanity. All right, now in this, we know by having Jesus in the middle realm that there is a door open in heaven, and the door is in the middle realm. Now there's numbers of tapes where I brought this out concerning the opening of the door in heaven, and I've made comparison to the present day study of it on the intellectual side concerning Shepherd and concerning Armstrong and the different ones that broke the gravitational powers and went into the galaxies and landed there on the moon. I brought that out in this middle rim, showing you what it has to do with. Because the middle rim has to do with sonship. That has to do with sonship. See, it's Father, Son, and Holy Ghost this way. And the reason you say Father, Son, and Holy Ghost this way is because the Holy Ghost dwells in the heart of humanity. He is down in the rim of the beast, dwelling in the heart of humanity. It's actually Father, Son, and Holy Ghost this way if you take an image like a body. That's why I say a lot of times you have to reverse it to get the revelation. See, if you say Father, Son, and Holy Ghost from heaven coming down, you're saying Spirit. The Father is a Spirit. God is a Spirit. But if you want God to have a form or a body and you look at it from humanity's point of view, you say Father, Son, and Holy Ghost this way because in heaven that's the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, and the image is here among the beast, the tabernacle of God among men. All right, so then if the middle realm has to do with the Lord Jesus Christ here, then that is sonship. That is the door that's open. That is where the veil is rent in twain. That is the opening of the seal. The seventh seal opening, if we had a chance to go into it, would center around Calvary. The seventh seal opening and the mysteries of the seven seals as to what they had to do with in the day that we're living in. So then we see that we've got a 1, 2, 3. And I can't go into the particulars of this because I want to bring out a few thoughts that's a little different this morning. But we've got a 1, 2, 3. We have, as the tabernacle in the wilderness, that we might give you a formulated thought pattern here so you'll have something to work with. As the tabernacle in the wilderness, the outer courts, working from heaven down to earth, are working from the kingdom of God within us out into the human body. So this is the outer courts. This is the inner courts. This is the innermost courts. So the outer courts, the inner courts, and the holies of holies, which is called the innermost courts. All right, now, it is necessary to have a thought pattern of natural things to be able to understand spiritual things. That's why God, who is a spirit, has created all natural things, such as the ocean, the stars, the trees, human bodies. Because the only way to make manifest a thing is to do it through a tangible substance. God, who is the invisible God, has never been seen at any time by any human eye. He will never be seen at any time by any human eye. The human eye is only a typical thing. 22 conductive nerves from the eye to the brain. You cannot see God on such a flimsy, puny little thing. You cannot see God, the great light, on these little old frail nerves that we've got up here in our head. So then, our eyesight here is only a typical thing in that we survey our surroundings and we see God through typical means, through types and shadows. Paul saw the plan of God through types and shadows, and that's why these eyes are given to us, these ears are given to us to hear the natural word as it is conveyed from the minister's lips or from God's Spirit to you. All right? That means that somewhere there must be more eyes and there must be more ears. If we speak of the eyes with the nerves here as being the beast's eyes through which the beast sees, then where are the sons of God's eyes? The sons of God's eyes, in that sons of God are not beasts but spirits, being sons of a spirit, then they have spiritual eyes. And Paul calls them eyes of understanding. Eyes of understanding. Just think, with your beastly eyes, you can look away and see the sun, which is millions of miles away. You see the sun millions of miles away with your beast eyes. That is typical of our spiritual eyes, which through spiritual projecting and dimension, extensively speaking, we see far out into the Spirit. Far out into the Spirit. All right, so then, God is a Spirit. We cannot see God. No man has seen God at any time, nor can see God. The Son of God, which dwells in the bosom of the Spirit, hath declared Him. All right, now, this is the thought that I want to get over to you. See, He hath declared Him. Now, when you say declared Him, somebody would say, Brother Plank, what do you mean by declaring Him? I mean that God is a Spirit, and the only way to see God is through eyes of understanding, that God is not a human being. God is a declaration. He must be declared. He is a word. He is a revelation. He is a great understanding. He is a great light. He is a Spirit that is from everlasting to everlasting, without beginning, without end. He must be declared. So then Jesus, who was the Word, from the Father's lips was the declaration of the Holy Spirit. For Jesus hath declared Him. He that dwelleth in the bosom of the Father, which means the Word in the Spirit. Jesus in the bosom of the Father. Jesus was the Word. The Word was in the bosom of the Spirit. So God's own Word in the bosom of His Spirit, coming forth, taking on the form of humanity, hath declared His state of being as being the great light. There are so many multiplied things that we could say concerning what you would call the elementary side of it, that it would enlarge your concept in a great way. But we can't spend a lot of time on that, because we don't have that much time to spend when we come in here. Our time is limited when we are among you, and we have to just do the very best we can. If we had enough time, now, for instance, if I had a congregation like Paul, I could teach you the revelation. Paul would start and preach all night long. If I could come in here and start like in the morning and not stop until maybe 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning of the next day, I could get it over to you and just bring in all the little fillers and the adornments, the additives. But I can't do it. I just have to compact things. And many, many people never get the things that I'm saying because I have to compact them. But anyway, here we see a three-dimensional thing. We've got earth, we've got heaven, and we've got Satan's middle wall of partition. Since Jesus was in the middle rim, He met Satan on His own level between heaven and earth, where the angels intercepted the message, the evil angels intercepted the message that was coming to Daniel. This is where Jesus met Satan on His own level between heaven and earth. Satan is a prince of this world. He is the prince of the powers, evil spirits that are in the air, that works in the minds of people that are not Christians. The demon powers continually work in the minds of people who are not Christians. And the whole elements, all of the air is infiltrated with demon spirits, just like diseases. Satan got into their bloodstream because they were the offspring of Adam, and it was handed on down. But Jesus calls Satan the prince of this world. The prince of this world. That means that your government is of the devil. Your schools, all of your schools are of the devil. Your facilities of this world are of the devil. All the system of this world is of the devil, and Satan rules over the system of this world through intellectual abilities and powers called education. He is the prince over this world. Jesus is not the prince of this world. Now, that is why that God will destroy the world. The Bible said the world and the lust thereof passeth away, but he that doeth the will of God endureth forever. The world must pass away because Christ Jesus is not the prince of it. Satan is the prince of it. Therefore, Satan must be cast out and the world pass away. When you say world, you're talking about a system. You're not talking about the earth. God isn't going to destroy the earth. So don't confuse that with a system. The world is a system and it must pass away. You follow what I'm saying? Have not the love of the world within you? It is a system. It is a system, so it must pass away because it is not godly inspired. The earth will not pass away in the sense that God will renovate the earth and make a new earth out of it. Now he said, well, if he makes a new earth, then the old has to pass away. That is true, just like my body will pass away and I'll have a new body, but it'll be the same me. You understand what I'm saying? All right, so then Satan being the prince of this world, God has to do away with this world. Then comes the new world where Christ Jesus is the prince of the new world. Christ is the prince of life. He is the prince of life. I've come to give you life, he said, and that more abundantly. And the word abundantly means filled up and overflowing. I've come to give you abundance of living. The system of this world cannot give you abundance of living. It only puts you in a prison. All right, so then we understand what is meant by these three dimensions when we talk like this. We understand this. Satan is the prince of the powers that are in the air. He is in the middle realm. And because he is in the middle realm, he is like the dark clouds that hang over our head. He is like the fierce storm that is above us. And we are in captivity in this lower level. And we cannot get into this higher level because we can't get past here. And those fierce winds and storm and everything is laying in here. He is over us, the prince of the air. He causes the turmoil in the air. That's why Jesus rebuked the winds and the storm when he was on the boat, to show his power over the prince of the powers of the air. He showed that he was supreme to the prince of the powers of the air. All right, so he rebuked the wind. Now, beyond this is the third heaven. Beyond this is the third heaven. From here down, it is called a world of darkness. That is intellectual rule and power. And it is a dominion of Satan. It is a dark world. I try to bring this out a lot of times. We are not living in a world of light. When you live in this world, in your carnal mind, before your new birth, you are in a dark world. All of the world is in darkness. All intellectual reasoning is darkness. And you and I are light on the inside, the only light that there is in this world. How do you understand what I'm saying? See, so from here down, it is darkness. It is darkness. All of this cloud of darkness hangs over us down here. Therefore, we cannot have light because the darkness is over us. That's why Jesus came into this world and said, I am the light of the world. That was the only light that ever got from heaven down here. Never before have there been one speck of light since the world began until Jesus came. That is also why he said, you are the light of the world after he left. It's because he gave you of his spirit. You understand what I'm saying? Adam was not the beginning of the creation of God. Adam was not the beginning of the creation of God. Jesus was the beginning of the creation of God. So then the beginning of the creation of God, or the act of God, did not start until after Calvary. And the Bible tells us that Jesus is the beginning of the creation of God. All of the other was types and shadows. It was a veil. It was a lying vanity. It never did exist. You understand what I'm saying? With God, it never did exist. Like Adam, with God in the beginning, he never did exist. All God did was pick up a little dust, little handful of dust, make it into a form. It was nothing but dust. And he said, when Adam had finished his course in the garden and done what God put him there for, the Lord said to him, from the dust thou art, to the dust thou shalt return. But when God came to make his second man, Adam, which was the quickening spirit, he said unto him, he called him God. Called him God and spoke of him as his son and said, thou, O God, thy kingdom is established forever and ever. Ye shall fold up the others and lay them away like a garment. Whereas he did, he took his own body, typically speaking, and folded up the law and folded up the carnal side of life and the natural side of life, folded it up and laid it away as a garment in a grave that we might have this glorious opportunity that we've got today. Now you say, Brother Pike, why are you saying all these things? I'd like to say these things and multiply it more. But why would you say all of these things? I'm saying this to bring you to an understanding of today. You see, at the crossing of the Calvary, that is the crossing of the Jordan. How many of you agree to that, having been tutored? See, the crossing of the Jordan, I'm going to say this briefly to refresh your minds on it. Peter said, though you know these things, I feel it meet disturb your pure mind, the mind of Christ in them, so you can comprehend what we're saying. Coming from Egypt over to Canaan, they went by Calvary, the Red Sea. From the Red Sea, Calvary, down into the heart of the earth, as Joseph did in prison, into the wilderness wandering, until they come up to the grave, death, to master death. When they come over death, that is when they went over the Jordan, it was Christ Jesus overcoming death, coming out of the grave. From that point, Jesus went into the heavens, into the Spirit, because that was Canaan. When they went over the Jordan, they were then in Canaan. And they got their new harvest when they went over the Jordan. Now, I said that to say this, that this year brings the church over the Jordan. This year brings the church over the Jordan, and we should be fully enjoying this thing by the coming spring, because the spring of this year has to do with it. The old is folded up and laid away. That which has to do with Brother William Branham that we spoke of a number of times has been folded up and laid away. Brother Branham represented a great move in the earth, a great thing in our day, but it's folded up and it's laid away, and it is no more. That's why that we've got the reports we have about the people splitting up into splinters. That's why men like Brother Lamar comes and tells us that they've quit playing the tapes in the tabernacle, and everything, see, is just drifting away, and everything is just going out concerning Brother Branham. Very little said about him anymore. It all had to be that way. We spoke not only of Brother Branham, but everything that branched up from that. Brother Allen, Brother Oral Roberts, Billy Graham, and all the others, how that they just go out just like a light going out. Now you might say, Brother Pike, why do you say that men like Brother Roberts, Brother Allen, and the others will go out when Brother Roberts is worth, well, if he builds what he's planned to build, be worth $200 million. Why do you say that those men are going out? Because, and I don't mean this wrong, because Brother Branham went out, they have to go out. You see, Brother Branham was a burning light. Jesus said concerning John one time, said John was a burning light, and ye were willing for a season to walk in that light. Brother Branham was a burning light, and Brother Roberts and many of the others were reflectors of that light. They reflected that light as a mother from a father down to the children. They reflected that light. Life is from the man. The mother reflects that light to bring children into the world. And they reflected that light. And when that light had gone out, they eventually began to get dimmer and dimmer. And eventually they went out. But now remember, when the light goes out in the west, when the western perspective of the light goes out, at that time there is a darkness. There is a period of darkness. It goes out in the evening time. Then there comes later a morning. Jesus is the evening time sacrifice. The light went out. You remember? The Jews went into darkness. The great day star went out. Now, from that time, the evening star set in, and went through the dark night of the tribulation and was to come up again over in the western world as a day star, whereas it did. Now then, the day star that we've seen here is going down. That day star going out at the time the woman has her foot on the moon, the man-child being born, and you know that I'm speaking of America, Russia, when I say the red dragon, China, you understand what I'm saying. Now, so then the light is going out. The day star, which is the sun, it's a big star. The Bible said, until the day star dawn within your heart. The day star is Christ in us. He that overcometh, I will give unto him the bright and the morning star. Having Christ in my heart, I have the day star, which is the revelation. I will never again be in the night, because I have entered into his great, glorious, one eternal day. My inner man now belongs to the day. I can never be in darkness again. For to be in darkness is death. We lay down after a hard day of labor. We sleep the sleep of death until the morning light. And then we are awakened with the coming of the brightness of the light. So then, the day star of the western world is beginning to go out. From the time it goes out, then comes in the tribulation period. That tribulation period is the dark night of crisis that develops between the time of the setting of the sun of the west and the rising of the sun in the east. That is to say, in our natural understanding, to where we can understand it, that the sunlight of government in the western world goes out. And then it goes into an Antichrist government, and from that time the church is sealed in as it was in the dark age from Calvary over to the western perspective. Going back to the eastern perspective, it's just the same. It has to go back through the Catholic Church and the Roman powers back to the east the same way it traveled over here. It'll go back the same way. And that middle wall of partition is the darkness. That is that realm between heaven and earth. The western perspective, as you see it, over here, and going back to the eastern perspective of the sunrise, for the sun rises in the east, not in the west. See, life comes from the man, which is the east. It sets in the west where it produces children here in the west. When it is finished, the life departs from the woman. At that time, it goes back to the man because it is under the control of the father and not the mother. The father is the one that is in control in the house. Now in this, we see it going back through the Roman perspectives, going right back. Now somebody would say, well, what does that have to do with Brother Branham? Brother Branham represents the Eagle Nation, the Western perspective of it, and the sun has gone down concerning the Eagle perspective, which is the woman. That brings on your fourth seal. Your fourth seal, and from your fourth seal, something starts happening. I'd love to get into it sometimes. You have four beasts around the throne. They announce the first four seals. If we get into that, I'll get your mind off the other and you won't understand what I'm saying. Now, if it's going down in the west, it must come up in the east. How many of you agree to that? If the sun sets in the west, you know that. It must come back up in the east. And I say that the sun is setting. I say that this year has brought on a great change, and the sun is now setting for the Gentile people. And you know, when the sun gets way away, death sets in. When it's farthest from the earth, death sets in. Do you know that? I say it's setting for the Gentile people. I believe that because that's what I understand of God. You say, Brother Pike, if it is the tribulation period and it has to do with the Roman powers coming back into power, now, how is it at this time that things are like they are? Jimmy Carter still in rule, the power of the government going on like it is. Let's look at it for just a minute. Things are not exactly the way that you think they are. They're not that way at all. Jimmy has brought in the European way of life. The cars have been changed. The government has been changed. They're changing miles to kilometers. It has gradually changed over. And it's not at all the way that you think that it is. Moshe Dayan has just recently gone to the Pope in Italy. Why did he go over there at this time? They have never bothered with Rome before. But he has been over there for quite a long time. And they've been discussing the holy sites of Jerusalem. Why would Moshe Dayan do a thing like that? See, there is a reason for it. It's right at the beginning of this year. It's time for the covenant to be made that must be broken in the middle of the year. Now, they're coming together. Russia has just recently sent up a couple of spaceships. Those spaceships went right up to a great landing pad that they had up there. They've had some people there on that pad in a house ever since the 11th of December. These two ships went up there and made perfect contact, which means that space is now conquered according to the paper, and now they can go into the Flash Gordon thing you used to read in the comic books and so forth. See, they can sail around in space now. They can go up so high and from these space stations, fill up with gasoline or fuel or whatever they have to have up there, continue right on in this space, orbit and work. That has a great significance, because if that is true, then that means that you and I, if they are typical of the Christians, at last we are able to remain up there. Remain up there and do what we want to up there. Now, there's a middle wall of petition. It indicates that that middle wall of petition has been broken down as Jesus broke it here. The world of darkness, light, and darkness having no fellowship. That great light here shining as it went back to heaven. It went back all aglow and it passed through this dark, dark middle wall of petition, and the darkness just faded away into nothing as that great light moved back into heaven. So there is a door that's open in heaven if we follow in Christ, or if we are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We repel darkness, and that is broken down. We have here between heaven and earth a landing pad, and we can come up here to Christ Jesus between heaven and earth. He is the King that has set his throne up and overthrown the powers of evil. And we've got a landing pad and a launching pad from here on into the third heaven by the atonement of His grace. Now, when we speak of the Western perspective of it going out and the Eastern perspective of it coming in, this brings us to what is happening right now. Look at a few foolish things with me, if you will. Some of you have already heard me expound some of this. Some of it you haven't. But look at what has been happening in the last day or two. And I don't want to involve personalities, but I want to bring out all I can. If this is the middle wall of petition, then Lucifer has been cast out into the earth. Only for the church, remember. It's the spiritual perspective. He was cast out at Calvary. We're just now comprehending it through the revelation that John wrote shortly after, Paul having referred to it, being called the revelation of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of Revelation. Actually, it doesn't take place naturally to the natural world until the middle of the week, which is the middle of the tribulation period, the last 7 years of Daniel. But spiritually speaking, it has already taken place for us. The middle of the week has to do with the Jewish part, which is bodily redemption. But we are spiritual Jews. He that is a Jew outwardly, Paul said he's not a Jew at all. But he's only a type. We are a spiritual Jew, and we are called the true Jews. All right, in this, we see here the middle wall of partition. See this right here. A doorway from earth into the heavens. This has to do with the middle of the week. Has to do where the battle raged in the time of Daniel. Now, all of Daniel's teachings had to do with that war between the angels. the dark clouds, the light clouds. If we here as spiritual people are already coming to the middle of the week, then we understand some of the previous teachings that we brought out about the woman and the man and the 3 years difference between the maturity that the law held so long, which has recently yielded up that position because they've come together. We've got teachings on tape concerning this. That means that the bride is ready. She hath made herself ready. If it is the middle of the week with us, then that means that Lucifer has been cast out. That's why that the thing that happened centered around the school, the intellectual tree of knowledge. It had to center around the school. There was no other way for it to do except to center around the school, to represent the intellectual. It isn't that our school is intellectual. Our school is a Christian school. But in that schools are the intellectual powers, then it had to orbit around that. And the person that was in charge, there had to be a change in it, whereas there has been a change. My wife just recently had a birthday. This has to do with it. The 13th on Friday. Somebody called it the unlucky Friday. But of course I got Betty, so it was lucky, you know. For me, if you want to look at luck. But anyway, you go back to the fact that there was 13 colonies in the United States when it first started. You go back to the fact that this is Mount Vernon over here. And the things that happened at Fort Knox. The change. You remember about the gold and the different things that we went into. As a matter of fact, the foreign countries is wanting Fort Knox to yield up 18 tons of gold right now. The change in that this is Mount Vernon, having to do with Washington, the spirit of truth, it is exactly a replica or a reproduction of what took place when our forefathers came into this country. It is exactly the same thing, except this time it is the true government, and God is bringing it out of the veil. It is coming out of the veil. After sifting, he hath come up with these people of little Bethlehem, and he hath brought them out of the veil. There is a natural little Bethlehem over in Jerusalem, and there is a spiritual Bethlehem here. And whether you believe it or not, the things that happen in natural Bethlehem has to do with spiritual Bethlehem. I know I'm a pastor here, and some of you won't understand what I'm about to say, but a priest named George in natural Bethlehem said that he felt their problems would soon be settled and people from the far corners of the earth would come to little Bethlehem. He didn't call it little Bethlehem. He said Bethlehem. Now, so it is that it is to be a light throughout the world. We that are spiritual understand. Now, if Washington represented the spirit of truth, then we get a typical thing when we look at Washington, Abraham Lincoln, and Roosevelt. We see through Washington, Abraham Lincoln, and Roosevelt, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Washington having to do with the father of our country, the spirit of truth. Lincoln getting all the credit because he was the son. See, they did not put a statue of Washington there before the Capitol, but of Lincoln. Because what God does, he does in the son, that the son may get credit for it. They only put a great monument of Washington in the sense of that which could be seen that's towering up to bring about the spiritual significance. Then the third part, as I said, has to do with Roosevelt. Even at this present time, the policy of Roosevelt is still being carried on by Carter. That has to do with the Holy Ghost being in office so long, turning the world that was a briar patch in a wilderness into a garden by the WPA workers and whatnot. See, bringing about that typical thing of Canaan. And the policy is still going on even now. All right.
So we see the 1, 2, 3 of the government and what it represents to us. A lot of things that we could go into concerning that, but if you have the principle of it, then you can just tie one thing to another. The Spirit will just tie one thing to another. Now, if this is a complete reproduction of what took place many long years ago, then it means that it is the preservation of the government of God which must go into the millennium. Is that right? If it is starting here, and it's 1, 2, 3, and this is the spiritual perspective because we are spiritual Jews, as Washington the truth, then the next stride that it will take is through the tribulation period, which is the middle of the week, where Lincoln comes in. Abraham, the Jews, the father of the Jews, into the middle part where Jesus shows them the nail scars. Then through that session of Antichrist, where the sonship is, and the two prophets, going back to the two means of voting, Republican and Democrat. You know, it was 3 in the beginning, but it broke down to 2. Then the third step of it brings in, after the tribulation, the millennium, which goes back to the Roosevelt policy, which has to do with a lot of things, if we had time to say something about it. Washington's vision of the heavenly intervention. All right, now, since we see these things, let's look at it round Bethlehem just for a few minutes at a few little things that's foolish to the world. The brother leaving the school, the distortion, the little problem that we had in school, and what I made mention of earlier here, I made mention especially concerning that so that you'd have it on your mind, so you could make it all bleed in together. Orbiting around the school, that's where the problem got in for about 3.5 years. It got in there because it had to be that way. Around the school is the intellectual part, which goes back to the tree of knowledge. It had to be like that because it is the children that crosses over the Jordan and the elders die in the wilderness. Now, my wife's birthday being on the 13th, bringing in Friday, then the resignation of the one that was at school coming in at the same time, the ice and the fierceness coming in over the nation at the same time, and yet God smiled on little Bethlehem and confounded the people. The school having to do with the tree of knowledge, the birthday coming at that particular time, the ice coming in, it all had to do with Satan being cast out of heaven. With him, there went a third part of the stars. That's why that I made the statement that there would be trouble among at least 4 or 5 families or more. Because with the intellectual powers going out, some were to become busybodies. And it had to work through the woman because of the type. And was to go from house to house. Paul said, subverting whole households whose mouths ought to be stopped. And God will stop them. Some of them literally flying into a rage. I was informed that some of them got so angry they flew into a rage because some of the people wouldn't agree with them. That was obvious that was Satan. Now, I could go into a lot of detail, but it'd take a lot of time, and I could say a lot of things that would involve personality. But the Lord will have to reveal that to you. But if you notice, there are some foolish things that's involved when you talk about a birthday. You talk about a snowstorm. You talk about all of these things. As a matter of fact, even the 3 hogs that was killed yesterday had to do with it. Such a foolish thing. But yet it had to do with it. Now somebody would say, Brother Pike, I know you're slap out of reasoning now, talking about hogs in the sanctuary. But believe it or not, those 3 hogs that was killed was typical of Jesus and the 2 thieves at this particular time of life here at Bethlehem.
in the foolish things that the world would never notice. Somebody would say, you mean you compare Jesus with a hog? The Lord God of heaven referred to people as being swine. And though Jesus was not a swine, he was made like unto sin or a swine that I might not be a swine. He was made like unto a serpent, having been lifted up as the brazen serpent in the wilderness. You ever notice the hog, you take him, stretch him out, you put him just like on a cross, and then you rend the veil. Is that right? Everything follows it just perfectly. The killing of the three hogs had to do with one thing. Like the two thieves, it's the changeover. One said, if you be. Another said, remember me. There had to be two sides of Calvary. That's what the law said, if you be, live up to me. The other said, grace for grace, I believe. All right, so then we see the difference. We see the difference in what I'm saying. The killing of the hogs, I think one of them they had to shoot 7 times, which had to do with those church ages. But the killing of the hogs had to do with the people concerning the school that has literally crucified me in the minds of the others out there. They've literally rend me, killed me and the brethren, and crucified us in the eyes of those people to bring about their purpose. Now, you understand what I'm saying? Our black brethren was the one that took the hogs over here yesterday, helped kill them and dress them, along with some of our white brethren. And when they got through, our white brethren looked like black brethren. All of them looked alike. Brother Johnny said, you look like me. So they all looked alike. But nevertheless, it had a great significance. You know, this is the time when the black man and the white man's coming together, and that middle wall of partition is being, that old grievances and discrepancies being torn out. And we're realizing we're all human beings in God's creation, and that's been a bunch of foolishness. It's the redemption of the body, in that the black man is black because he represents the body that has been in the earth in darkness. And it has to come up. See, you and I are in darkness, intellectual darkness. And we have to come out of that to be one. So then the sudden all that got on the brethren just showed where it's all coming together. Redemption of the body. But anyway, they represent the Jewish people that are in darkness, that is under the powers of the law, sin getting its strength by the law, being the overshadowing of darkness. Now, but the black brethren representing the Jews, it would show that the Jews killed and crucified Jesus. But really, the thing that happened isn't that way at all. That's not what it is at all. It would show that the Carolina people are the ones that literally crucified me and the brethren. But that isn't it at all. The Jews, if you remember, said to Pilate, we want this man's life, but it is not lawful for us to put any man to death on the Passover. See, they had a death coming for the Passover. So then, it was not them that did it. When they found the stem and the trouble, it was the Roman powers that did it. So then the Roman powers are coming in again. Already, Moshe Dayan, the great general of Israel, is communicating with the Pope of Rome. All right, now, so then you see in those little simple things how that there is a Passover, there is a changeover. As a matter of fact, I think they wrapped one of them hogs in a white sheet. But anyway, there is a changeover coming over Calvary. If there is no death and no blood spilt, then there is no Passover. Because the Lamb is to be the Passover. How do you understand what I'm saying? See the prodigal coming out of the hog pen. Jesus represented the prodigal that had to come down here in the hog pen. How do you know that your heart within this bodily earth wasn't nothing but a stable for beast? Is that right? Dirty and filthy. But Christ Jesus come in and cleaned it up as a little manger among the beast. and came in there. Is that right? All right, so then we see there has to be blood spilt for a Passover, and there was plenty of blood spilt. The death, like Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the death of those animals, dead. Then, on the following Monday, the morrow after the Sabbath, that'll be turned into food and put on the inside, the Holy Spirit returning inside, resurrected. Them hogs will be resurrected again. How do you understand what I'm saying? And a lot of little mouths will get some food because we killed them for one purpose, and that is to help people during this cold, little cold spell that we're having. So we see that those things perfectly fit in line. Brother Woody and them, Brother Woody, Brother Arthur, they got these doors up out here, though they're not finished because they have to do with the coming spring. Yet they got the doors up, which has to do with the closing out of the day star and the time of the Gentile people. If you hold on a few more minutes, I'm going to close. I done kept you a long time. It won't take me but a few more minutes, and I'll be closed. The doors going up out here. The little BCR bank is beautiful. Even Cynthia yesterday said, Daddy, I never realized it was going to be so pretty. But it's going to be a beautiful little bank. It has to do with the heart of our operation here. God has blessed us. How many of you know that? I made the statement the other night. Sister Betty checked the things out, and the people of Bethlehem is worth $1 million. They don't owe that much. They're worth that much. They have that much assets. All right, so the little bank has to do with the heart of this operation out here. In the middle of that bank, there is a pillar, a great big pillar, that is about 4 feet in the ground. It has four huge parts to it, four places for vaults on the inside. The pillar going on up, extending up to the third loft. You understand what I'm saying? That pillar has to do with the revelation. This is Calvary. This is Jordan. When Jacob got his wives, and I'll try to go through this right hurriedly, not bring out the details on it, because we got some of it on tape. Jacob, when he got his wives, he had to leave his father's house. See, Christ coming down here, Jacob, 12 sons, Jesus, 12 apostles, a spiritual part. Left his father's house, had to come down across Jordan, the boundary of worlds. They that are down here are dead while they live. Jacob had to go down into the land of Laban. There, when he went down there, he got his wives. You follow me? When he got his wives, he first coming down wanted Rachel. Jesus wanted the spiritual Jew. But you can't get an egg without a shell. So then the laws of the land was you had to take Leah first, the elder daughter. So he did. 7 more years he labored, each 7 representing a dispensation of time. 7 more years he labored for Rachel. But if you remember, his first labor was for Rachel, but he got Leah. The first thing that Jesus done at Calvary was for a spiritual Jew, but he had to take a natural Jew. All right, now, you understand what I'm saying? He got his 2 wives, he got his children, labored another 7 years, about 20 or 21 years. Then he left his wife's father's house. He crossed over the Jordan, going back to his father's house. Now, if you remember, he had Leah for 7 years, then he took Rachel. But Rachel, on the way back to the father's house, died. You remember? Giving birth to Benoni, or Benjamin. That is to say, the mother of Joseph, which is America, the spiritual Jew. And then the last part of that is Benjamin, the Jews that's coming in over here in Israel. With that, the American government goes out. You understand what I'm saying? It'll bring in the Jewish government, then the woman, America, dies. Because Benjamin is the man-child that's called up to the throne, all right, to rule with a rod of iron. Now, see, when you say Benjamin, you're talking about the body, the Jews, the head of the nation. See, Joseph is the spiritual part. That's body and spirit coming together. after this and this will come together after that Antichrist, which Jesus represented, being made sin, is killed and destroyed. When this middle wall of partition is taken out, the iniquity of our soul that is separated between us and God, when it is completely eliminated, then the two will come together. The spirit and the body will come together. For the body, Benjamin, is dead without the spirit, Joseph. Isn't that right? Benjamin died out here when Joseph, right here, was withdrawn, the spiritual part that went into heaven. You follow what I'm saying? All right, the middle wall of partition then is what? It is the Roman powers. It is education. When the head is killed out, you won't have any trouble with the soul and the body coming together. But as long as that's up there, the law is up there, and Satan is working through the human senses. So God doesn't want to hurt the temple. He wants to purge and cleanse the temple, like He told those prophets, measure the temple by the word of God. See, redeem it. All right, now, if Benjamin, the death of Rachel at the birth of Benoni, if that had to do with the end of the Gentile age, then we understand why Jacob was left with Leah. Because, see, he goes back to Leah, which is the Jews, when Benjamin comes in. Now, Leah, see, Leah comes in. Somebody would say, well, it looks to me like Leah would give birth to Benjamin if that's Jews. No, because those that to come in are going to be spiritual. So it has to come, as it is written, out of Zion shall come forth the deliverer, and he shall turn ungodliness away from Jacob. That is to bring in Benjamin. See, it is Benjamin that you find staying back there with Levi when the priesthood come in and when the tribes were taken away. Staying back there with the Judah part of it. All right, now, in seeing this, he goes back to Leah, whereas Leah is the Jews. Just before he gets back to the father's house, he's going across Jordan. Just before he gets back to the father's house, the Gentile dies. But remember, he had already crossed over the Jordan. He had already placed that great pillar there at Jordan that was to be between him and his father-in-law, which was the kindred of the wife. See, we're taking the wife. Jesus comes to the Gentiles. He gets a bride from among the flesh. The rest of the flesh, which is her father's house, going back to Satan, he cuts all of them off. Come out of the land of thy kindred. Cuts off all of the flesh that you're relative to. Takes you back to his father's house. That's a spiritual thing. In the cutting off of that, now if you listen just for a few moments, in the cutting off of that, Leah comes back in. See, Leah comes in at the end time, which means God at last received the Jew. When the wife of Jacob is buried, he doesn't bury Rachel with his kindred, Father Abraham, in the field of Machpelah, but he buries Leah because she's relative to the Jews. You follow me? All right, so then when the Gentile is cut off, which is Rachel, then comes the Jew in. Now, this is where we want to get to. That's exactly what has happened. Brother Branham's part has been cut off. You follow me? It has been cut off. There had to be a Jordan, the crossing over. The crossing over. It had to be cut off when the last ones come in, Benjamin. That's what little Bethlehem has to do with. Those that are caught up to the throne that shall rule with a rod of iron. The first part of it back there with the bride, that died out. The sonship coming in. You follow me? America has to do with Joseph. Now notice this. In the crossing of the Jordan, Brother Branham had to die. After that comes the new thing. That is to rule everything with a rod of iron. That's why we put the pillar out here by the well. The Lord showed me to put the big pillar and showed me what it was for. And a bank, if I had time to go into it and show you what a bank represents in every step of it, especially with our money, you'd know exactly what I'm saying. But nevertheless, that big pillar has to do with the well that we drilled out here. There was three wells that we had. One of the wells was when we had our trailer out here. We put a great stone on that well out there. That was a bored well. The next well was down here at the old Bacchus home place, which was a big dug well. We covered that well up. And you remember the night it was covered up and what it had to do with the new year coming in. That was a dug well. The next well that Betty and I had to do with in Bethlehem was this well out here, which is called a deep well, a drill well. This one goes down into the rock. It goes over all of that mud that they hid that had to do with the crossing of the Jordan, that icy night that I stood out there with that big blazing fire that they had coming out of that pot. That pillar has to do with the crossing of the Jordan. The pillar, little BCR, represents the mediation or the tie in between the people and the operation of the eternal abundant life work. Jesus Christ's eternal abundant life work. It's the little tie that's in between. It is their substance, yet it is loaned unto the Lord in the sense that they honor God with their substance. It is the pillar. That is where Samuel judged Israel. Samuel the seer. It has to do with Shiloh and the Ark of the Covenant and many other things. But when they crossed over the Jordan, and I said when that pillar was finished up out there, and it's just about finished, that was the closing of the doors to the Gentiles, because when Jesus resurrected, that done it. Everything went with God that was God's, and everything was cut off that wasn't God's. In that we have crossed over the Jordan, Brother Branham's having been closed out, this has to do with Jesus and the Christ. Jesus on one side, given as Brother Branham was unto death, that Christ on the other side might come forth, saying, as I was with Moses, ye shall forerun that which is to come, the revelation of Jesus Christ. All right, now, in that indicates that this little building out here, having a 1, 2, 3, has to do with Brother William Branham. And I say again, that is why that we are getting the vault out of California. If you remember, Sister Joni's dad is out there. He's head of the steel mill. We spoke of him having to do with the rod of iron, the one that ruled with the rod of iron, having to do with the steel mill. Now, the vault must come out of California from all we can see so far. The reason that I understand that is for the simple reason that Brother Branham never joined anything but the full gospel businessmen, which has to do with the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. You remember how that we brought it out concerning Brother Branham, the Carolinas having to do with the Spirit, his message played there, Arizona and the desert having to do with his soul, his wife and them whom he loved was there, and then in California his body being owned, as you would say, by the full gospel businessmen, in that he had made a commitment to them. Out of there comes forth the vault. You put a man away, you bring the vault up, bring the Western perspective in, bring it all the way back to the east, put it in out here at the pillar. He was a seer. That's where Samuel judged Israel, was at the pillar. Put it in out here, it brings about then the resurrection coming over the grave, which is the Christ part, bringing it over, taking it back to the Father's house, which is the rapture of the church, going into the Spirit here, into the mind of Christ, the revelation coming over, and there is where they get their first harvest, which has to do with those hogs that we spoke of, you know, and has to do with the different things that's taking place. They got their first harvest, which is this new ministry that's coming into the body of Christ, the revelation of Jesus Christ. They got it, and they dwelt in booths. That's one reason that we are using the cane in the oriental appearance that we have out here in this building. Even Bill spoke of it. He spoke of the dwelling in the booths, how that they went into Canaan, and he brought out some things God had revealed to him about the booths. We from that pillar had moved a couple of booths from the pillar over into Bill's office. And, of course, at this time, with Mitch and them having to do with that commitment of their land, bringing in the bodily part, Bill spoke of those booths. The booths being brought from the place out here, there's booths both in this office and in this office. For they dwelled in booths when they came into Canaan. All right, now there's just so many multiplied things that I would like to say with that, as always, when I get up here and start to close out. But I perceive that I've said enough this morning and have enough to where you can kind of understand what we're trying to illustrate to you. There's a whole lot more that we could say that has to do with Brother Holt, Lubbock, Texas, and Arizona. We just have to go into another message. But you pray about that concerning Brother Holt, because that's a high place. It's a high point. We brought it out. And it has to do with the spreading of this, because many ministers come there. Their church is not all that big. It's a fairly good-sized church, but they have the building filled up, just filled up. Can't hardly get the people in. And ministers from everywhere are there. And they are wanting our ministry. They said they've heard about this ministry, and Brother Holt was not careful just to say, I want that ministry. Holding back nothing. Now, so there's some others that was there, ministries, people that wanted it also. There was a sheriff, a retired sheriff. They built a place over in Alabama, and they asked Betty and I to please come there. We're getting invitations all around. We got one the other day from Ohio, I believe. They asked us to be showing this dot by there, Missouri. But the thing is, at this point, Brother Holt has to do with it. And, of course, it's winter time. They're having it in January, which is here at the first of the year. But down there, a lot of times, it's summertime. That's down in Pensacola. It has to do with Reby Bankston and a number of other things. St. George's Islands and a few things that we just have to go into a new turnover to bring out. But anyway, you pray about it because it has a great significance. And this year is a great time because, as the Bible said, rejoice ye that dwell in heaven, for the accuser and fault finder of our brethren has been cast out. They that accuse them day and night has been cast out. And the third part of the angels went out with them. But we are they that dwell in heaven, having the great strength of God. Now has come salvation and the power and the strength of our Christ. Now has come power and strength, and we should rejoice and have a good time in the Lord. I want you to stand with me. Our musicians will come at this time. You love Jesus? Always remember what I've told you so many times. Never try to be smart and intelligent, intellectual, and figure things out. Just believe. Don't ever try to be smart because you're so sure that you're right a lot of times. And I tell you that you're wrong because you are wrong. So very wrong. That's something Hubert Humphrey died at the age of 66 on my wife's birthday. They're burying him tomorrow. That's something, too, because he has to do with the law. They say he's the last one that has to do with the law. They say he's one of the most learned men in the law that there is. Isn't that perfect? You remember when we brought it out here a while back about that great man? What was his name? Somebody help me. You remember the lawgiver? Hoover. Edgar Hoover, you know, we brought it out and how that had to do with it. Roy Rogers, is that right? That's something. The king of the cowboys they're just doing open heart surgery on Roy Rogers. That's something. When a king's heart's open, that's really something. But anyway, that's the West too. Queen of the cowgirls, that has to do with the church. Now, so we see, a lot of you know that many movie stars died, didn't you? You know, we said it'd be a lot of them died. They brought me a little clip in James of some of them did, and I never knew so many of them died. Bing Crosby, so many multiplied ones went out. Star falling from heaven. Elvis Presley, the leader of them. See, out of Memphis, looking back into Egypt. They all look back into Egypt. Elvis died, and they died with him. Now, I understand it right now, there's quite a number of them that's going to be over there. Or already been over there, maybe. At his birthday or something. Thousands of them. But anyway,
This is
the thing that we're trying to get you to see, is that if the law, like Hubert Humphrey, is gone, that again goes to show your government. See, being gone in the end of the law. With the end of the law, what does it mean? Over the Jordan, the end of death. Death is conquered. You remember when Hoover went out, and I made the statement, I said that has to do with the end of the law. And you remember they done away with capital punishment to prove that what I said was right. So then Hoover going out, Humphrey going out, the last one of the law, that indicates the law and the prophets is finished, as we brought out about Brother Terrell and Brother Walden. And believe it or not, after I told you that the other night, I had a vision of Brother Walden. And in this vision, I was talking to some of his people. And they said to me, I asked about Brother Walden. They said, he's quit. So he's not preaching anymore. So he quit. He got him a place down in Moultrie and said he's quit preaching. That didn't happen naturally. That was a night vision that I had. Said, haven't you heard? Said, he's quit. Said, he's quit altogether. The end of the law and the prophets. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. Now, I know these are foolish things. I know they're foolish things. But folks, they're only foolish to the natural intellectual mind. It is the mind of the Almighty God. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be changed, as we would say in our behalf, into the image of the Almighty God, in the likeness of God. For in His likeness we were made. Thought it not robbery to be equal with God, in that He was made in the likeness of God. Did you know that one of the complaints of those that have withdrawn from us is that they do not understand how we can be gods? Did you know that? Didn't I tell you a few days back, we preached a sermon up under the tent. Some of you perhaps remember it. I said the thing they stoned him for. Said, you being a man, make yourself God. They couldn't get over the Jordan. That's their complaint. They've come back again and again with it. And that was their hang up. But nevertheless, let this mind be in you. It's so wonderful to be a Christian. So wonderful. This is a great year, a great day. I go to great extremes to let you know that I'm not guessing, that there's a reason behind the things that I say, though I can't bring them all out. Every time I say something to you in a few words, I can't go back and bring it all out by going through a sermon, you know. But I believe that you've come far enough along that you understand what I'm saying. I believe that most of you understand what I'm saying. And if you turn around as they did, it proves that you didn't see it. The Bible said the wicked shall not see when good cometh. They could not have seen this glorious thing and turned around and left it. There is no possible way. No possible way. Only they that dwell in heaven can see this, because it's heavenly things. How many of you believe you dwell in heaven? Let me see your hand. Down your heart, do you really believe that you dwell in heaven? I really believe I dwell in heaven. Hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. We are they that dwell in heaven. Rejoice, ye that dwell in heaven. Can you rejoice? Rejoice, ye that dwell in heaven. Hallelujah. I feel him on the main line, don't you, Gary? He's there, folks. We're in heaven. He's there. I can feel him. I can feel him. All of the black people, the great dignitaries and leaders among the black folks, have just gathered in Atlanta, Georgia, for Martin Luther's birthday. Isn't that something? Now they're gathering over yonder for Elvis's birthday. The rock and rollers. And gathering over there in Atlanta for Martin Luther's birthday. And down here, my wife had a birthday. I said my wife had a birthday. All right. Somebody saw a vision of my wife, Sister Jacqueline, I believe it was. Like a beautiful dove, she was giving out so many multiplied gifts. He resurrected from the dead and gave gifts unto men. How many feel like you've been in
endowed with some gifts. So then, the wonderful treasures of heaven, the knowledge of God, is in your heart. This heavenly treasure in earthen vessels, you're the little trunk. You're the treasure chest. If all of them gathered around through Atlanta, Georgia, then that shows what we were speaking of, the Jewish power, the government we said would be in Atlanta, Georgia, would have to do with the black people. It shows it. Right at this very time, Kissinger, who drawed that great thing together in Atlanta, is scheduled to be over here, right nearby. Over here at the University of Georgia. Can we sing that? If I keep on, we'll just keep on keeping on. Let's just sing this chorus together, can we? Down at the cross where I faith